I greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. It's been good to be here. It's interesting to see get a little glimpse of what's going on here in the previous evenings. And some of the planets we have up here, it just made me think about I saw recently that Saturn is supposed to be visible right now. So I don't know if you've been looking at that along with what we've got hanging up here. But it's a joy to come and see children looking forward to going in, the anticipation in their faces. As another thing that hit me this morning is in somewhere around 13 years since I've been ordained, I don't know if I ever remember somebody talking about the exact same story that I was going to talk about, and that's fine. I think that's going to be looking at a little different angle, and it's not the main part, but it's just interesting to me to see. It probably has happened before, but I don't remember. And so I really appreciate what was shared there in that story. I'd like to think this morning entitled the message, Members of One Body. And you probably know what passage I'm going to go to, a passage that's often read when we think of the church. And if you want to turn with me there, I'm going to read that chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Starting with verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink of that one Spirit. For the body is not one member. But if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow the more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our kind Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee again this morning, Lord, we thank You for what we've heard. We just pray that You might continue to be in our midst, open our hearts to what You have for us, and show us Your way and Your will. We just want to commit this service to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, this passage, the apostle is comparing the human body to the brotherhood. You know, we all need each other. When one part suffers, the whole body suffers. You know, how many of you have had a toothache? Or, you don't have to raise your hands, but probably a lot of us had. That, you know, something's going on there, and it makes life rough. An ingrown toenail, nobody sees that probably, but you know it's there, and it's real. When one part suffers, the whole body suffers. You know, God created each of us uniquely. And when we think of the human body and how it works together, every part has a purpose. You know, in the past, our tonsils were considered a nuisance. A lot of doctors were quick to recommend removing them. It was almost like they recommend a vaccination. You know, just quicker you get rid of them, the better off you are. But that has changed. The thought was you needed to remove them to keep from inflammation. And there are cases where that is advantageous, but you know, God doesn't make mistakes. Our tonsils, those of us that still have them, you know, they are our first line of defense. They can stop germs from entering the body through the mouth and nose. They contain a lot of white blood cells, which are responsible for killing germs. You know, they were put there for a purpose. If they're taken out of our body, you know, our body adjusts, and there's other defense systems that step up to the plate and cover fairly well. But our tonsils do have a job to do. But they're doing their job in obscurity. You know, I've never heard anybody say that's a good-looking set of tonsils. I mean, it's just, there they are, but that you don't know they're there unless they're swollen or cause problems. You know, maybe they feel like they don't get the credit they deserve sometimes. But we have, as we think of the body of Christ, if we think of the church, you know, we have a large congregation here. And I think that's a blessing, but the negative side of that is it's easier to keep yourself in the sidelines if you want to. You know, the other side of that is that there is plenty to do if you want to, if you're there to do it, if you want to apply ourselves, if we're willing. You know, just try offering the trustees. Just ask them if there's anything you can do to help them out, see if you don't find something. Ask the school board if there's any projects you can help with. You know, there's plenty. I think the more people we have, the more there is to do if we're willing to do it. You know, we have our main reorganization once a year, and that's coming up the last of August. And I was wanting the opportunity to talk about church responsibilities before that. You know, sometimes I feel like we come into it without proper preparation, and that's myself included. Suddenly it's there, we're there, and we're moving through it. And I wonder if we've really prepared our hearts, if we've really thought about it. You know, maybe we come hoping to slip out of responsibility, or we may leave feeling bad about the outcomes. But you know, every part is important. Some of the work is mostly behind the scenes. Some of it is out front. Every office is important. You know, our church has kind of its own unique culture. As long as I can remember, new members or newlyweds, you know, they run the same routine. They take turns taking charge of the different home assignments, superintendent and so on, and that's okay. Maybe it's our initiation, I don't know. But are we really taking these offices seriously? Prayer. Are you praying that God would have His way in each office? Do you look at the qualifications, the talents? Do you take the time to look over existing responsibilities of the person you're voting for? too much for too long can cause maybe almost a burnout. You feel like you're involved in everything that is going on. You feel like you need a break. Maybe there are Sunday school teachers that aren't voted on simply because they haven't had the opportunity. And I'd like to think a bit about the responsibility of teachers. We have a lot of teaching going on right now, and the Lord bless you that have offered, are helping out with the Bible school and are here and teaching. We have several others that are teaching in other places right now, summer classes. We have people involved in a lot of things, and that's a blessing. That's what we're here for. You have a wonderful opportunity to touch the heart of those in your class. Sunday school teachers, another great opportunity. Jesus left a wonderful example for us when he came, and that was his care for the little ones, his care for the lambs. Those young years are very impressionable years, and teachers should take their responsibility very seriously. And Jesus' question to Peter was, "Lovest thou me?" I think Jesus wanted affirmation of that before he gave Peter the responsibility to feed my sheep. Jesus was wanting Peter to understand that love for the responsibility itself is not enough, that enthusiasm for teaching or enthusiasm for children is not in itself not enough. There must be the love of Christ flowing through them. Christ's love is the essential qualification for being a true shepherd. We've been offering to have a simple dedication for our little ones, our new arrivals. And the reason behind that is simply to remind us all of the responsibility that goes along with being entrusted with another precious soul. First of all, the parents' responsibility and their commitment to do their best to teach and to train their children. Also, the church's responsibility to aid them in prayer and support as they endeavor to fulfill their God-given role. What a blessing and responsibility we have as a brotherhood to encourage each other, to be there for each other. We have a creek running through our property, and it's a creek full of rocks, and lots of these rocks have fossils embedded in them. And there's a story that those are telling. I brought a few along this morning. And I thought maybe should have put these on the projector so everyone can see them. But I'll take a couple down here and pass them. You can pass them down the aisle if you want to. Here I got one that's got, looks like a shell. I've got some like this that have the complete design of some kind of a worm in them. And a lot of different little, probably creatures of some kind. One time, how did they make their impressions in these rocks? Also found this one. That's kind of scary, isn't it? I don't know what that one is. What do you think it looks like? Huh? I don't know if it's a tooth or not, but it kind of looks like that. I have another one here that was pretty unique. It has a really deep hole, and it has in that hole you can see little marks. There's some kind of a animal got embedded in that rock. Y'all are welcome to come up and look at these. I'll set them down after the service. But how did those impressions get there? Maybe we'll have to ask Dalton to explain that to us after church. I don't have all the answers there. But, sometime in history, those rocks were impressionable clay. Sometime they were, or clay or wood or something. Whatever was put there at that impressionable time centuries ago has remained there through floods and whatever else has come along. And now they're rolling along down in that creek. There's a story behind them. You know, how much more sensitive to impressions is the life of a little child? Every phase of influence that passes over their little lives leaves its own record. When a child is exposed to the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And I think these build on each other. Love, joy, peace. We heard about peace last Sunday. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. When we are called to teach in any place, we need to take that seriously. Souls are at stake. You know, children are looking up to their teacher. You know, I know of cases where, or of a case at least, one, where a highly influential Bible school teacher fell into sin, turned his back on God. You know, it was a major hurdle for former students, for those that had sat under his teaching, for those that he had counseled and given direction to. You know, they were looking up to this teacher. You know, young men, sisters, you have younger ones looking up to you, whether you are a teacher or not. You are a role model to somebody. The reality is you are some little child's hero. They want to be like you. And when the love of Christ is burning in our hearts, we will be his hands and his feet. And those little ones will see Christ in you. And then you are ready to shepherd his little lambs. Then our lives will point them to him. That should be our highest goal in life, to share the gospel on every level to everyone. And we discussed discipling the other several Wednesday evenings back. But I don't think it's something we necessarily nearly always do consciously. It's something that happens. It's something that we should be doing every day. It's something that every true child of God is involved in daily. You know, it's the work of Christ himself. And he chose to use mankind to share that gospel message. And that's where I was going to go to the talk about the account that David talked about there. I had looked mainly at the John's account. You know, when Jesus was speaking to that great multitude that followed him up the mountain, and he asked Philip, where are we going to go buy bread so that these people can eat? Now, if you think about it, if you ever, maybe if you're preparing food for 50 people, you might get a little stressed out. It's a lot of food to get together. When you're trying to prepare for 200 people, that changes the dynamics. When you think there might be 1,000 there, that is a lot of plates. There's a lot going on. And Brother David talked about it, 5,000. Now it says besides women and children, so I don't know where that would have taken it to. And I had to wonder if you were actually feeding 7, 8, 10,000 people. You know, I don't know how much food Sam Sosel has in it, how many servings they have sitting there at one time. Maybe that's minimal. I don't know. But it seems like it would make a pretty big dent on a place like that if you had to suddenly come out of there and feed 10,000 people. It is a lot of food. I think it's hard to imagine the impossibility that Philip, 200 pence, what will that do to John, the John's version of it there? He says two small fish. I don't think they reach to five people each. And five loaves. What is that to so many people? But you know, Jesus didn't need the lad's bread or fish, but he chose to use this young fellow's meal, and he was willing to let it be used. You know, Jesus gave thanks. He distributed the food to the disciples. You know, the disciples were undoubtedly hungry themselves, but they didn't just sit down and eat and let whatever's laying beside them. I mean, what's the use starting 12 of us? 10,000 people, 8,000 people, six, whatever. I mean, This is impossible. But you know, they did what Jesus asked them. He gave to them, they took and gave, and it kept going, and it kept going, and it kept reaching out. Jesus chose to use his disciples to feed the multitude. You know, they were co-workers with Christ. I think it gives us a picture of Christ's purpose for coming to this earth, to be made bread for hungry and perishing. And he's still using his disciples to feed the hungry. For us just to sit down and selfishly nourish ourselves with no thought for the needy souls around us would be worse than the disciples simply sitting on the grass, feeding themselves, eating till they were satisfied, and then simply laying the leftovers down beside them. While there was plenty of potential there was plenty there to feed the whole multitude. And if there would have been 20,000 there, there would have been plenty. Well, we have numerous committees while we're talking about food. I'll try to be sensitive to how much I say about food because of the time of the day it is, but because of being, you know, our food committee, they play a very important role in our church functions. And sometimes it may seem like a lot of work with a small amount of thanks. I don't know. Well, I do know, maybe. I want to say that we really appreciate what those that have served in the past and the present have done and are doing. And it's such a blessing to see people rise to the occasion and to have a brotherhood that is willing to pitch in and help. And that verse in Hebrews 6, I think, Hebrews 6, verse 10, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints, and do minister. The labor of love, which ye have done in his name," that is a key factor in all we do. Are we doing it in his name? Are we doing it for Jesus? If we're doing it for any other reason, we're missing the blessing. And that is for anything that we're asked to do or we are called to do. If we want the credit, we will miss the blessing. You know, I went down over our voting list or our the responsibilities of the different offices, and there are approximately 56 slots to fill. And I know that doesn't cover everything. I had thought of quite a few other roles that aren't included there. Some of them are committees that may not involve that much time most of the time. But you know, they're all important, and the work is not limited to those slots. There are opportunities all around us every day. I appreciate and respect our ushers. And I feel like over the past years, we've had ushers that took their responsibilities seriously. They poured their hearts into the work. And I'd like to first of all give a compliment. I believe our group overall does a great job of showing respect to those in charge. But I'd also give a challenge to our congregation to keep that up, to show respect. They're simply trying to do their job and to keep things running smoothly and orderly. And we can do a lot to make their lives, their jobs easier, simpler, by following directions. You know, if they're trying to find you a seat, don't turn off and leave them set. That's very disrespectful. It makes their job difficult. Put yourselves in their shoes. You know, how do you feel when someone you're in charge of or you're responsible for does the opposite of what you tell them to do? And I appreciate the efforts that are going into keeping things moving after Sunday school. And our church house is often pretty full. So it's a challenge and takes cooperation in order to make room for everyone. You know, the song leaders, Sunday school superintendents. You know, does it matter which song you choose? You know, they're all good. But I'm blessed so many times when you feel the Spirit's leading throughout the service. And I'm blessed when I see brothers and sisters that are putting their hearts into the work. You can tell they put thought and prayer into whatever they're doing. Enthusiasm, fervor, a desire to reach out, a desire to encourage others, seeing the good and pushing them on. Every one of you has a vital part in every service. You know, as we look over the congregation, you get a feel. You see a group of people that have come to see what God has for them. Unfortunately, you also might sometimes get a feeling that there's some that Or you don't know if they're with you or not, or you don't know if they're really here or not, or they're wishing they were elsewhere. And I didn't see that this morning, so I'm not talking about anybody here. But you know, it doesn't matter so much what we think, but it matters what God thinks. And He knows and He sees each heart. Now, there's no unimportant role or office, however young or old. We need each other's prayers and support. We even need helpful criticism sometimes. We recently had a sister stop by and step inside the door to drop off something. I was preoccupied, and whatever was being dropped off didn't concern me. And I was sitting in my soft chair, relaxing a little bit off to the side. My chair turned away at about 45 degrees. And there was a little conversation as she left. And my dear wife informed me that you could have said hi. She said, if that would have been me, I would have been mortally offended. Well, you know, what can I say then? I meant no harm. I didn't mean to be rude, but I'll say I'm sorry now. But, you know, we need each other. And hospitality is so important. It's such an important Christian virtue. You know, maybe we think it's our usher's responsibility to greet visitors. But, you know, make it your responsibility. You know how it warms your heart when you go somewhere else and there's a youth that comes up to you and talks, visits, or whoever it is. You know, be that person here. And I believe we have I'm not criticizing, but I think it's something we need encouragement in. I know it's something I have to work with personally to think about. You know, we can get sidetracked and we don't mean to be rude, or we don't mean to miss something, but it happens. As parents, we need to encourage our youth and young people to go out of their way to talk to visitors. You know, we need to make sure our visitors feel welcome and have a place for lunch. You know, we all have our place, our part, in whatever congregation we find ourselves. You know, how we view our role will largely depend on how invested we are. Are we involved in God's work, or is it my work? Do I spend more time worrying about what people think about me than I spend time reaching out to others? As we come up to reorganization, I'd encourage us to make it a matter of prayer. Take time to look at the responsibilities people already have. Ask God to show you who He wants for those roles. You know, maybe we think it really doesn't matter. Does it matter? Responsibility can be a real time of growth personally, as well as it should be a means of encouragement to others. It's all about the function of the brotherhood as a body. A body of believers that is led by the greatest example of servanthood, and that is Christ Jesus. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Psalm 92, verse 12. I think of flourishing. What do we think about when we see something that's flourishing? You know, I have two different... I have planted corn in two different places this year. And both of them came up about the same time. Both of them had the same amount of rain and the same amount of sunshine. But you know, both of them are not flourishing the same. One has some other ingredients that help it flourish more. And the other one, the one looks like I normally see it, but the one patch is deep green and is tall and is just beautiful corn. I don't know if it's going to make any ears, but sometimes I wonder if it's all the everything's going into the stalk. But it happened to be planted over a spot that I had piled some chicken manure earlier, and so it is growing beautifully. And there's no weeds around, very few. Never did till it, not one time. Planted it and left it. But, you know, a life that flourishes grows for God, grows for His glory. And I trust that's each one of our desire here this morning. He says, the righteous shall flourish. What is righteousness? I think it's simple. It's just simply a choice to choose, those who choose right living. And I trust that's why you're here today. Why you came today, that you're here to learn from His Word, to grow to be more like Him. You know, they say that palm trees are versatile, from the trunk to the leaves and the fruit. You know, they're useful in a lot of different ways, every part of them. They thrive in the hot tropics. They give shade, and the shade varies. You know, a tree that's, most of those trees, most of them just go to about 100 foot tall, and you think of that little patch of, you think of a palm tree, those leaves way up there. You know, that shade, I had to wonder how far that shade travels in a day. Some, you'd have to be moving your chair a lot of times, it seems like. There's even some in Colombia that grow up to 200 feet tall. And I know that would be a big area. But there's a fruit. They produce fruit that refreshes the weary traveler. The fruit of a date palm, and then you have the coconuts. They hang below the leaves. And maybe it's good their shade does travel because it's kind of dangerous to sit right underneath the trees. You know, those, the leaves can be woven into mats. They can be woven into hats or baskets. The palm tree fibers are used for thread and rigging for boats. There's thatched roofs that come from those leaves. You know, the trunk is useful for lumber, for fuel. Palm oil is said to be one of the most popular vegetable oils in the world, used in ice cream, soaps, shortening, and a lot more. You know, dates and coconuts provide nutritional food. You know, are you flourishing like a palm tree? Do you have a single tall trunk, a single heart, a heart that's pointed up, a heart that's singular in affection and loyalty to God, a fruitful palm, a blessing, and a refreshing to all those that meet us? And then do we follow, after this passage, talking about the body and the working together, if he follows it with, I'll show you a more excellent way. And talks about in the next chapters, and I might just read that chapter. Chapter 13, I think most of us know it by heart. So you just follow, you just listen. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have no charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. And when I became a man, I put away childish things. But for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And it explains itself so well, the more excellent way. You know, if we can do all these things, but if it's without the love of Christ, if that's not what's motivating us, we're not getting anywhere. Miss Havergal says, a great deal of living must go into very little teaching. I thought that's very good. A great deal of living must go into very little teaching. Those who have been with Jesus carry out from his presence the unmistakable marks of communion with him. No set of rules will accomplish that effect. Another quote in closing here. If we live ever in his presence, his life will permeate our very being. If we live ever in his presence, his life will permeate our very being. I was impressed this morning with that verse that Brother Jerry read out of Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm just going to close reading that as a prayer, that passage in Ephesians. So if you want to all stand together with me, I'm going to read that in a closing prayer here. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. Amen. You may be seated.